You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Okay, third and final hour tonight. When we talk about the political cesspool staff and production crew, who are we talking about? Well, there's obviously myself, James Edwards, host, Keith Alexander, co-host, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, co-host, Winston Smith, co-host, although the loss of his earring has impacted the limited his participation, I guess we could say. Then we have Scoop Stanton, who is a regular correspondent from the D.C. area. We have Jim Lancia, who is our criminal justice reporter. We have Sean Bergen, who is our New York correspondent and normally is on to talk about matters related to police shootings and terrorism. Art Frith was our in-studio producer for many years. He's retired now, but he does still do he still does spot production work. And then, of course, there's Sam Bushman, who is our owner here at Liberty News Radio Network, but also produces us remotely from the network studio in Utah. Matt the Copperhead Felak, who's a utility man and does some on-air reporting for us. That's pretty much the crew. If I've left anyone out, please let me know. I think that's everybody. But that's the crew. All of them have been on more recently than the last time we heard from Pappy, the Bombardier himself, Eddie, the Bombardier Miller. Now, it's been a few weeks. Eddie's been on sabbatical. Every good soldier needs a furlough. But he's back tonight, and not a moment too soon, because, Eddie, you know, we're taking heavy fire. That's not unusual from the press. Now we're getting it from Hillary also. But we've got a lot of emails from your fans across the country and around the world asking me where you've been. Now, of course, I know what's been going on, and you needed a break. You needed to do a few things personally. But explain to the audience. You owe the audience. You owe your legion of listeners an explanation that will warrant. When's the last time you're on the air? You're normally on every week. It's been at least a month or two, I'm guessing. Time flies when you're having fun, so I can't say exactly how long. It's been a while. Explain to the audience where you've been, and then we'll ease you back into the saddle, and then we'll run roughshod.
Achtung, achtung. Well, yes, you know, it's great to be back. It certainly is. I miss being in the political cesspool, like James said earlier. We've been on for 12 years. I came on, I think, about a year after they were after I owned. You know, Austin Farley, I think, was the one that originally fired up, got James on, and we had a bunch of people coming on that are not here anymore. But it gets in your blood. It really does. And the reason I came on, James, originally, because I met you. I met James, I think he was about 19 years old. And I loved James from first sight, and his beautiful wife, Danny, and his family, his kids are just it's incredible. I miss coming over here to see them more, I guess, than I did miss the cesspool. But I came on because I thought it was my way of helping our race, helping our people, helping our nation, helping our Christian brotherhood. And you know, like James mentioned earlier, we're all volunteers here. I don't know if you people realize that. But not only do we not make any money, it costs money to run this state. There's been a lot of money out of our own pocket.
I mean, there's a proliferation of podcasts, online shows. They do great work. I'm not looking down upon that at all. They're incredibly vital, and we need more of them, and there's a lot out there doing good work. We're the only game in town when it comes to AM establishment airwaves stuff that's explicitly pro-white, this network and the programming on this network. That's it. And we've been doing it for 12 years, and we were doing it first. We're the original. And of course, you came in very near day one. I think it was me and Austin and Jess.
Jess Bonds.
That was the original crew.
Art.
And you came in very near after that. But of course, we met, Eddie, even a couple of years before that when I was running for office for state representative in Memphis. And at my campaign headquarters, I got this note from some guy who I had left a brochure, my campaign brochure, on his door. a few hours earlier. He wasn't at home at the time, but he came by my campaign headquarters. No one was there at that time. I guess we were all out canvassing. He left a note, left his name and number. I called him, and the rest is history. That was how Eddie and I first became acquainted, and now we've been doing radio together for more than a decade, and man, has the time flown.
I'm telling you, it's flown. We have fought, and you know, when I say danger, physical danger, we have literally been in physical danger many times. I was real trepid about the political cesspool birthday party, and right after that, we had the General Nathan Bedford Forrest birthday party. I think it was it last
that
July?
Was our 10-year anniversary. Yeah. Party was in October of 14 because we went on the air in October of 04. So we had the 10-year celebration, which is what you're calling the birthday party, in October. Yeah. Of 2014. Then we had the big Confederate flag rally that we helped organize at Nathan Bedford Forrest Park.
That's
last
right.
Summer. We drew 500 people in less than a week. While we were being, while the Department of Homeland Security was doing what they could to suppress the attendance.
It got very hot.
And they had contacted me, the Department of Homeland Security had contacted me, saying you can't promote it, you can't advertise
it. We did it anyway.
And, well, we stopped advertising it on the radio program because we didn't want the whole thing to be pulled. But we had 500 there, even though we couldn't advertise it to the full extent of our capabilities. We still had 500 people. Really, it was really closer to 600. We had 500 people on a week's notice, and people had drove.
I think
political cesspool listeners drove more than 12 hours, some of them did, just to stand with us and hold their Confederate flag in defense of the flag. That was at the height of the hysteria after the murders in Charleston. And the press was trying to blame every Confederate flag for that horrific event.
And you know, when I mentioned physical dangers, I don't know if you people out there know, but Memphis has an extremely high crime rate. I wonder why. Yes, I do wonder why. But right where, and I still call it Forest Park, because until the day I die, it will be Forest Park, is where General Nathan Bedford Forrest is.
He's still buried there. His monument's still there, and it is the finest, most dignified equestrian monument that has ever been cast.
Well, you know what? That's located in the belly of the beast here in Memphis. There's probably no higher crime area anywhere in the South. Well, we were down there. I remember one day we went there, me and James, a couple of times with our big old Confederate flag, getting photographs made while we were down there. But the
it
day
was a Confederate
we...
flag, it was custom made for the political cesspool. It's a Confederate battle flag as you know it, with our show's motto, No Retreat, No Surrender, No Apologies. It was gifted to us by one of our most loyal contributors
Look
and
at
friends
it right now.
And listeners in Arkansas. And he gifted it to us at our 10-year anniversary celebration. And we've gone down to that to Forest Park by
Wait
ourselves on the sidewalk to hold that flag.
In the middle of the hood, folks. I mean, we're talking hood. We're talking the middle of the hood there. I really was very anxious. I'm not a coward by any means, but they say that discretion is the better part of valor. When we went down there to scout that place out the day of the Forest Park birthday thing that we had last July, I was very anxious and nervous about that because I told James and Keith later, I said, I think we have, it's a very good chance we have getting a drive-by shooting. And we did have a lot of drive-bys there, but thank God there were no shootings there.
Thank God they didn't hit us.
That's right. That's one of the dangers we faced. We faced
well, listen,
many dangers
together. Bottom line is, we advocate for our people in the court of public opinion, on the airwaves, in person, on the streets. We're there.
I would like to have what we spent on gasoline alone in the past 10 years. We out of our own
coming
pocket.
To the radio station and back. Listen, we do it all as a labor of love,
love
because
you. We
serve a cause greater than ourselves and a people greater than ourselves.
That's the name
and
of the
that
game.
Is those in our audience. We'll be back. Eddie's back. We'll be back with him right after this.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes. In fact, my brother, he's 22 now. He told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
You know, one thing good about having Eddie back tonight after a, about a six-week absence, is that it gives us the opportunity to settle him back into the program, number one, but number two, just kind of rehash things and rehash what makes this show tick, what this show is, who we are as not only brothers, but as your humble hosting staff, and the relationship that we have with our audience. Now, during this last commercial break, Eddie, myself, and Keith, who is not mic'd up right now but still in the studio, we received an email from one of our listeners in Missouri. And, Eddie, I'll let you describe what we found. This is an email that this listener asked us to view. It was a picture of this family's children, Eddie.
You know, yeah. Before I get in, I'm going to address something that's indirectly directed to that very photo. People, I forgot to tell you where I've been a minute ago. If you may well know, I run marathons for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital.
Yeah, we never did get to that in the first segment. That was the only thing we had to cover that first segment was where you've been. It's the only thing we didn't cover. But answer that and then segue into the
November picture. 6th. November 6th, mark that down. I'll be running the New York Marathon for St. Jude. December 3rd, I will be back in Memphis running the St. Jude Marathon here. And I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm telling you what. God knows I love children. And that relates to this photo we're going to be talking about in a minute. I do all this endless training and endless running and endless fundraising that costs me a lot of money out of my own pocket for children at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital for sick children all over the world. We got a beautiful photo sent into this studio. The five of the most beautiful children you will ever see in your life. They are pure white. They are pure Caucasian. And that's not a crime, believe it or not, to be all white. James has informed me that this is a Christian family from Missouri, right in the heartland. You can't get any more heartland in the state of Missouri. They are homeschooled. They are home church. They're some of the most beautiful children you ever see. And they're Christian. And they're agrarian. You know what that makes them? That makes them dead center in the crosshairs of the beast out of Washington, D.C. and of the United Nations. That is the very target that the world beast, the globalists, want to wipe off the face of the earth. That's who they hate. And let me tell you what, just opposite of the globalist beast, our goal is to preserve these type of people, to preserve white Europeans, to preserve Christians, homeschoolers. That's who we fight for. That's why we do this for no salary. That's why we do this by spending money out of our own pocket. God only knows how much money we spend on gasoline alone. I drive a long ways to get to the studio. Keith drives even farther than I do. James works 24/7. That's why I'm not here crying and moaning and, you know, and trying to get mercy or your sympathy. But that's why we do it. Everybody has to have a cause greater than themselves. Our cause is greater than themselves. I would like to address this family. Thank you for sending that photograph in. That makes our day. That lets us see, that helps remind us, even though we really don't have to have reminders, that helps us, motivate us to fight harder. That lets us know, it shows us, this is what we're fighting for. That's exactly what we're fighting for. God bless you for sending your photograph in. God bless you for sharing those photographs of those beautiful children for us. I love you for it. Over to you, James.
That family, and we know them personally, and because through the work of this program and through the work that we do, we have met them and have become friends with them. But it really personifies the political cesspool. This is what the political cesspool is. What are our ingredients? What has made us a cult phenomenon over the course of the past 12 years? What is it about the political cesspool that gets us international media coverage every week? What is it about the political cesspool that has got us denounced by Hillary Clinton this week? We serve as an unapologetic voice for European Americans. Yes, that's true, but equally true, an equal part to that is that unlike some other pro-white outlets, which we very much support, but differ with in one aspect, we are equally pro-Christian. This is a Christian show every bit as much as it is a pro-white show.
Amen.
We are a pro-Christian show. And, of course, equal part to that, we are pro-Southern. So that is it. That is the political cesspool. Pro-family, which is our particular family, is the European family. It is, well, actually, at first, we are pro-Christ. It's God, Family,
right,
Republic.
On.
It's
right
God,
on.
Family, Republic. We are pro-Christ, pro-family, which is, in our case, European Americans, and Republic, and which is, in our case, the Southern Nation, the Confederacy, the old Confederacy. God, Family, Republic, Christ, European Americans, and the South. That's
exactly
the political
right.
cesspool.
You know, James, you mentioned Hillary a minute ago. Well, we mentioned her a lot, but it's only been a couple of weeks ago. Hillary Clinton, she denied access to white reporters. She said she was not going to give any interviews. She was not going to respond to any white reporters. Well, you know what? Not only Hillary does stuff like that.
She responds to us.
Yeah. Well, yes, in a negative way. I was listening to James and talking about Trump, you know, how he said he would, when he got elected president, he would defend the Mexicans. He would defend the blacks. Everybody but the whites. But let me tell you what. That's why we are here. You know what? We take up the slack. We're going to do what our own government won't do. Not only will our own government in Washington, D.C., the federal government, not protect and look up for people like this family in Missouri and like James's family, my family, Keith's family. They attack us. They tax us to death. You know what? When the white race dies, when we get below the threshold, a critical threshold of population, where we can no longer keep our population up, and that day is coming very soon if we can't get our birth rate up. And I'm very proud that on our Constitution, political cesspool Constitution, one of our goals, that's right, no white journalists allowed. That's what Hillary said. But one of our goals on our Constitution, political cesspool Constitution, is to maintain or even increase the birth rate of white people in this world. And let me tell you what, everything that civilization, the blessings of civilization carries with it, has come from white people. You know, you can crow about your Japanese cars. Well, they got the Japanese cars. They got those from America, from, you know, from white Anglo-Saxon European engineers to develop automobiles. White people, Europeans developed modern Western civilization. We developed the system of law. The law we go by came out of England, a white nation. Our education system, our Christianity, everything good in the world right now has been produced 99% by white people, Anglo-Saxons. When we are dead and gone, well, you know what? I hope I can hang around as a ghost to see these blacks and all these people suffer because when we're gone off the face of the earth. Because when white people leave the face of the earth, the light of civilization will be out and over with.
Well, let me say this, Eddie. This is Keith. I had to get back on the mic for this. We hear today about cultural appropriation and what a big sin it is. Apparently, it's a great sin for white people to practice yoga or to braid your hair in the fashion that black people do. Quite frankly, everything that a black person or a brown person in America does, from the time they get up in the morning to the time they go to bed at night, when they brush their teeth, when they use a telephone, when they use a toaster, when they do anything like that, culturally appropriating from white people.
Well, and what Eddie was saying a moment ago is, of course, this is for the people who hate whites, the minorities that hate whites, people like Colin Kaepernick, not people like Jesse Lee Peterson, who was retweeting me this week. I wish we had more people like Jesse Lee Peterson, an all-American, a hero, a class act. But for those who hate whites for being white and think that we're the dregs of society, try living without us. That's
protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Karun Narasaki was appointed to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights by Barack Obama. She also manages the Shelby Response Fund, a group backed by George Soros' Open Society Foundations that seeks to increase turnout by voters of color in the hopes of improving odds of electing preferred candidates. This conflict of interest is documented in materials made public by the hacker group DC Leaks. The focus of the portfolio going forward will be on voters of color, reducing barriers and fighting suppressive measures which impede access to the polls, increasing ease of registration and access to early voting, and improving odds of electing candidates of choice, explains a key document from the Shelby Response Fund. We will also fund affirmative election reform measures that have been shown to benefit people of color, such as same-day registration and early voting, it continues. Another objective of the group is to influence appropriations for the Census Bureau, the redesign of racial categories on the 2020 Census instrument, and policy regarding how to count persons who are incarcerated. This would be brought about, reports the Washington Free Beacon, by putting money behind groups like the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials, the Leadership Conference, Asian Americans Advancing Justice, and DEMOS, a public policy organization. Among the highest priorities of the Soros Foundations is the enlargement of the U.S. electorate by at least 10 million voters by 2018.
For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin MacDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first class mail are only $60 a year. Go to toqonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's toqonline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I think what we're doing right now could qualify as Southern Porch Talk, as in we are talking about a lot of things, although it's not necessarily connected. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. But if we're Southerners and we're talking, it's Southern Porch Talk. It's as far as I'm concerned. And we're going to bring Sam Bushman on in just a minute. He is, of course, our syndicator. He is the owner of the Liberty News Radio Network and the host of the Liberty Roundtable show Monday through Friday at libertyroundtable.com. Folks, if you like the political cesspool, you're going to love libertyroundtable.com. And everything that we accomplish is due certainly to our audience, which we always give credit to. But in addition to that, to Sam Bushman for giving us the voice here on this particular network, which syndicates us to the AM affiliate outlets of Liberty News Radio. And our flagship here in Memphis is one of those outlets. But anyway, we're going to get to Sam in just a second. But first, Eddie wanted to talk about the Communist Manifesto and tell us why.
Well, I would like to talk about the Communist Manifesto, and I'm going to run it by you people out there in the audience, and you'll probably be surprised, if not shocked, to realize we've met just about all 10 of them. And I'm going to make this quick because I want to get Sam on too. Sam, I always love working with Sam. We click, man. We really do. Like, I wouldn't say like
nitro and glycerin. Yeah, that's what you always
there
say.
You go. Well, listen. This guy, you know, Marx and Engels, a long time ago, Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, they wrote what they call the Communist Manifesto. There was 10 points that they wanted to bring in to their communist government, and I'm gonna go through them briefly. Number one, the first in the list of the Communist Manifesto was an abolition of property in land and application of all rents of land to public purposes. That was the first point. Okay. The second point was a heavy progressive or graduated income tax. That might ring a bell, a heavy income tax, progressive, graduated. Okay, an abolition of all rights of inheritance, to get rid of all rights of inheritance. That's number three. Number four, a confiscation of property of all immigrants and rebels. By the way, I wonder who's going to be defined as a rebel and who's going to make the definition.
Hey, well, I should interject here very quickly. People ask me if I'm a neo-Confederate. I say, no, I'm not a neo-Confederate.
Hello, I'm a Confederate.
I'm the real thing. Yes, absolutely right. So
the neos,
I'm rebel. I'm rebel to the marrow of my bones.
To the bitter end.
Go on, Eddie.
All right. Anyway, okay, point number five. A centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank. Does that ring a bell? National bank. We'll go over that in a minute. Right, briefly. I'm sure Sam was eating this up. Number six, a centralization of means of communication and transport in the hands of the state. The state will restrict the citizen's right to speak out against the state, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, number seven. An extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state, the bringing of cultivation of wastelands, and improvement of soil, generally acceptance of a common plan. Does this Greenpeace, Agenda 21, does global warming, how about that? Does that ring a bell? Eight, equal liability of all to labor. I'm gonna go through these pretty quick because I want to run out of time. A combination of labor with manufacturing industries. Number 10, get this, and this is one of my pet peeves. Free education for all children in public schools. I do not think education can be free, should be free. I think everyone should have to pay something, because if you don't pay something, you're not going to have any investment in it and you're not going to take care of it. Okay, let's go over here on this other page right here. Okay, I'm looking for number one. Okay,
It's tough when you're reading from a text on live radio.
Yes,
you have to change the pages.
Yeah, you know? Yes, you do.
That's a trick.
Yes,
that's
you do.
That's a trick on live radio.
Okay.
Have you got it, Eddie?
Number one, the abolition of private property and land. Okay, get this. That was the number one point on the Communist Manifesto. The United States government now owns 33.5% of the land of the United States, completely in violation of the United States Constitution. The Founding Fathers raved about that. The federal government is not supposed to own any land like that. It's all supposed to be owned by the states and we the people. And it gives a big, it talks about Article 8, Section 8, Article 1 of the Constitution. I don't have time to go for that. I'm going to go straight down to number two. Progressive or graduated income tax. That was the number two point of the Communist Manifesto. We now have number two of the Communist Manifesto here in the States. The United States government passed the graduated income tax in 1913 after several previous attempts had failed. Okay, so we have that. We have the third point was the inheritance tax. Okay, get this, folks. The United States government imposed the inheritance tax upon the American people in 1916. Number four, the confiscation of the property of immigrants and rebels. In 1980, Congress took a step towards confiscation of property of immigrants when it passed H.R. 5691, which makes it a crime to transport or even attempt to transport monetary instruments totaling $5,000 or more into or out of the country without filling out the proper required reports. And that's not just immigrants, people. That's me, you, and all the citizens. Okay, the number five point on the Communist Manifesto, centralization of credit, a national bank. Okay. The United States set up its national bank, the Federal Reserve, in 1913. And that is, we'll talk about the Federal Reserve more in the very near future. I guarantee you that's the linchpin of the whole thing, of the whole New World Order. We'll talk about that in depth in the near future. Okay, that's number six, the centralization of communication and transport. The United States created the Federal Trade Commission in 1916 and the Federal Communications Commission in 1934. That's number six. That's six out of ten has been put into place. I've just read to you. Number seven, factors of production owned by the state. Amtrak, the federal government's railroad system, is a recent example of the intrusion of government into those areas traditionally operated by the free enterprise system. However, other government intrusions into the free enterprise system, and I've lived through them myself. For instance, the President Obama just stole Chrysler. He got rid of the people at Chrysler. He gave them to his buddies in the New World Order in Italy. He stole General Motors and passed it off to his buddies in Brazil and China and God only knows where else.
We got 2 minutes and we got to get to
okay,
Sam.
Well, let me
we got to get to Sam.
Okay, we got
segment. Sam's distribution. Essential.
Forced distribution of labor and free education in the public schools. When you get free education in the public schools financed by the federal government, you're going to get the federal brainwashing. I just thought that would be interesting. We have all 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, James, in this country. And I'm going to tell you what, this leaks to it too. When you talk about election of the president of the United States, we shouldn't compare what one candidate says to another. You should compare what the speeches, what these clowns are saying, how it lines up with the Constitution of the United States. We haven't had one single candidate for president of the United States that gets a passing grade when you line up against the Constitution of the United States. And that goes for Donald Trump himself, but he's by far and away the best thing we've got. So there, I'll turn that over. I tried to go through that quick.
Well, you did it quick, but it just goes to show how far America has fallen from the original intent
of
the Communist
Nation.
Very near it, if not in practice, if not in spirit, and certainly in practice. But got a message, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. We talked about how our Southern fans have been emailing and saying how much they've missed you, including...
I love them.
The matriarch of that family that we were illustrating earlier here on the program. But one of our
James,
listeners...
I got to say this, y'all. No one on this earth loves children more than I do. God knows I do. That's why, and I'm not tooting my own horn. I do enjoy running at times. Sometimes it gets to be a bore when it's 100
but
degrees.
But this is a man that's almost 70. How old are you?
I was 69 years old, April the 6th.
69. He'll be 70 next April. He runs three 26-plus mile marathons a year in New York, in Memphis. Where was the other one?
New York, Memphis, Nashville, and this year is going to be also going to be Little Rock.
So listen to this, folks. He's almost 70. He's running 4 major marathons a year to help children of all races, who are afflicted with catastrophic childhood illnesses. So that's why he's been out. He's had to fundraise
day and night.
Yeah, fundraising and training for these marathons. It's not easy for anyone. This is a 70-year-old man that's going out and doing this. He's an inspiration to us all.
By the way, folks,
of course, you've missed Eddie. We've missed Eddie. Eddie's missed you. And we were mentioning some of the emails that have come in from those of us here in the South.
I love you people.
And from New York.
Especially if you have kids. And listen, and by the way, at St. Jude, this is how much I love children. At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, Alsac St. Jude, the charity part, I'm known as Papaw. That's my nickname, Papaw.
Well, that's what we call you.
Yep.
Well, we call you the Bombardier.
That's
now,
right.
Off air, I call you Papaw. But from New York, this message just come in. So wonderful to hear Eddie's voice again. Didn't realize how much I missed him until he returned. So glad you're back. We need you in the fight.
Thank you very much. I get chills from that. I almost cry. I try to drop of a hat nowadays, but that. God bless you.
He's
thank
all
you
man,
so much.
But he's soft on the inside. He's the Bombardier.
Don't let anybody know I'm combat medic.
He'll throw down with the best. He tried to beat up Keith before. Hey, we're back with Sam Bushman right after this.
But Keith stole my ice cream.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Two very quick announcements before we go to Sam Bushman, our syndicator, our owner, host of the LibertyRoundtable.com. radio program in his own right. Another news story that made the press this week. Forget Huma Abedin's association with this radical Muslim extremist publication.
The big news, a terrorist.
Exactly. The big news was Donald Trump Jr., who we have interviewed, Sam and I interviewed on his program, he retweeted Kevin McDonald. Now, that made international news that he retweeted something that Kevin McDonald said about Hillary in the pay-to-play scandal. That made international news. And that just goes to show the media is like the little dweeb in your fourth-grade class. Teacher, Don Jr. said something about Kevin that we didn't like.
You know what? You got Hillary's girlfriend toting bombs around on her purse. I mean, she's in. You know what? She is in the Islamic terrorist movement for women. Her father is like one of the head honcho terrorists. I mean, and that doesn't get any play at all. I mean,
allegedly, you have to work the word allegedly in your vocabulary, Eddie. But anyway,
I've got to work that in, man.
Allegedly, we say allegedly officially on this program. But anyway, Don Jr. retweeted Kevin. It made international news. There was this huge investigative article in the Times of Israel about this retweet. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous. This is your global press, folks. This is what we're up against. But I mean, it's just absolutely. One other thing. I have two speaking engagements that have come about since our last broadcast last week. I will be speaking in Conway, Arkansas, God's country, at the League of the South meeting in Arkansas on Saturday, September 24th. I will also be speaking in Lansing, Michigan on
That's the belly of the beast.
Saturday, October 15th. And information, the full details about both of those appearances, September 24th in Arkansas, October 15th in Lansing, will be posted to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, this week. Hey, listen, if you're not following us on Twitter and you're not going to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, every day, you're not like Hillary Clinton. And with that being said,
you got to have guts to say you're going over to the suicide state. It used to be known as the land of opportunity, the natural state, but now we call it the suicide state since Bill and Billary went over there and allegedly have killed. Well, there's a whole book with just volume.
Allegedly, there's a book.
The mysterious death of Vince Foster.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
All right, but we got to go to Sam. Now, Sam's everything. But Sam, first of all, is going to remind Eddie of everything he's been missing on this sabbatical for St. Jude. And it starts in Cleveland and it goes to yesterday, Sam.
All right, let's
just
start out and say, while a couple of panty wastes, like Eddie and the Bombardier and Keith fight over their, you know, ice cream or whatever, and Eddie throws his sucker in the dirt and goes home. Well, that's all happening. Let's just talk about what Sam and James are doing, okay? Number one, we're taking on the mainstream press daily. We absolutely eat them for lunch. Okay, we've been having a heyday with these yahoos, these clown media moguls that run around and think they know. I'm telling you right now, they're even afraid to engage with us these days. Nevertheless, Bombardier's sitting home with his sucker in the dirt, and we roll right on to the Republican convention. We head right up there to Cleveland, Ohio, walk right into the mainstream press den of vipers, set up shop right in the middle, right in the center of every one of them, and proceed to interview them all, proceed to make them look like fools, proceed to interview their cohorts in government everywhere. And before you know it, they don't even want to take us on about it because they don't know what to say. They all have egg on their face. They're all afraid to engage. They'll attack us from afar is all they'll do because they know full well if they engage, they'll be slaughtered. They will be verbally slaughtered because we will point out the truth of God, family, and country. We'll point out the truth of life, liberty, and property. We'll point out the truth that we're mainstream America and these people are yahoos so out of touch with reality they don't know what hit them. And we sat right in the middle of them and took them all on, every single one of them. I mean, Alex Jones didn't even have the guts to go inside and broadcast live. He just, you know, petered around the outside. We were right in there live, James. And Eddie's just sitting at home going, my sucker's in the dirt.
Hey, Eddie is never one to shy away from a fight, but Eddie, in all seriousness and all kidding aside, you were concerned for our safety in Cleveland,
yes,
were you not?
I certainly was. I was very anxious.
Well, then why didn't you go to play the medic, my friend?
Hey, you did that in Vietnam, but you couldn't go to Cleveland.
Well, I tell you, Cleveland was probably worse. You know, at least we had, a little bit of artillery over there, across the waters. But up here in Cleveland,
well, we had Matt the Copperhead.
That's right.
And there's a story behind that that we won't get into.
You know, the news, the play I heard before going up there, I was afraid you and Sam were going to be shipped back in body bags, man.
Well,
I'm telling you what.
Let me just tell you something.
We would have tried to hide behind Kurt Crosby if it came to the shooting.
Now, let me tell you how it goes. By the grace of God, go I, my friend. If God wants me here, I'm here, and I'll make it through. If I'm supposed to be out, bro, I'm out.
And believe me, I actually
talked to
Sam about that. I said, Sam, because even my own father would say, I don't want you going to that. And I'm almost a 40-year-old man. I'm a 36-year-old man. I'm in the press, but I still have a father, and to a father, I'm always his little boy. He said, I don't want you to go. I think it's dangerous, especially with who we are and what we're about. And I talked to Sam about that. I said, Sam, even my father's saying, you know, I'm concerned. And Sam shared that with me, and I said, you know what? Let's do it. You're right.
I've got the scuttlebutt I got was that they were supposed to have police coming in from all different states, all over.
They did. Well, they did. From all over the nation.
But I heard we talked to them. They were great.
Well, I heard that like the vast majority of them pulled out at the last minute. But
I don't know about that.
I even talked to a bunch of police from Utah.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
They were marching as if they were platoons or a phalanx. I mean, everyone we talked to, and we covered this a few weeks ago, so I don't want to rehash it, Sam, but it was buttoned up, secure, but it was less hassle than going through your local airport.
That is correct. That's a fair assessment.
And by the way, all of the people were polite in law enforcement.
Since the political cesspool is under a fund drive right now, a fundraiser or whatever, and people are donating left to right, I want to see how many people will give us a dollar just because maybe we can buy Eddie a new sucker. If we have a dollar,
when I go to the bank.
Peanut butter flavor is my favorite.
A peanut butter sucker. I don't know if I've ever seen that.
Get him one of them Smarties, one of those big old suckers.
Hey, when I go to the bank to deposit these $25 checks that come in that keep us on the air, I get free suckers for the kids.
I dearly love.
All you got to do is get one for the bombardier.
I'll fight a woman over chocolate. You know how women love chocolate? A bear over blueberries. I'll fight a woman over chocolate.
All right, we only have a couple.
we had peanut butter ice cream in that little podunk town in Arkansas a couple years ago.
When we went with Sam to Arkansas, we stopped and Eddie got us
the
free ice cream.
The bombardier was wooing the ladies for free ice cream and everything.
What you talking about?
And we all got free ice cream at Baskin Robbins.
Silver tongue.
I don't remember what town that was in.
She's
but it
like,
was in.
Oh, you're the bombardier. Ice cream for you and all your friends.
We got free ice cream after. Yeah. Now, it's not just that it was free. It was free after they closed. That's the magic of the Bombardier. Anyway.
They even said if for Eddie, we'll even include your friends.
One of them said, that little boy over there, he sure is cute for a white boy. Pointing right at old James.
You know, we're big, as Donald Trump said, we're big with the blacks. I think that's the way he refers. We actually do. And Eddie, I know.
We did it. That's a true story.
They love us. They love us. When we go out in town.
They were closed. And a Baskin Robbins closed. And I said, my man Sam and James want ice cream, and I did too, and so did Kurt. Hey, I got us ice cream.
We were going to Matt the Copperhead's baptism in the Boot Hill of Missouri, and we were traveling back to Memphis with Sam and Kurt in tow, and we stopped, and the Baskin Robbins was closed, but that didn't mean that they wouldn't still serve us, and it certainly didn't mean that they wouldn't serve us for free.
The Bombardiers got the silver tongue working son, and that woman, I thought she was going to kick the door down.
None of this it was what we intended to talk about in this precious segment with Sam, and we only have about 120 seconds.
It was worth every bit of it. Next time, I would suggest that the Bombardier might want to go ahead and, you know, take off them panties, put on some boots, and join us for the hard-hitting talk radio and fight for freedom that we do.
And I'll of course, do that. I'll do that because you know what?
If I went somewhere else, the Bombardier wouldn't go with me either. Remember, James?
Hey, but we're
picking. I wouldn't go with you to the Topics Bar.
We're doing a no.
Listen, I went to the National Press Club. I broadcasted live from there. I led a big event there with the CSPOA. I introduced all kinds of people. I was the MC and a speaker, set up the whole event, and I invited the Bombardier, and he was too chicken to go to there, too.
Hey,
I'm coming next time.
The bottom line is, and it's all a good-natured ribbing. If there is one manly man here in the cesspool team, it's the Bombardier.
Trying to do is coax him into going, that's all.
That's exactly right, because this is also equally deserved to be spread between Keith and Winston and everybody else on our team that didn't make it to Cleveland beyond me, Sam, Kurt, and the Copperhead. But nevertheless, that was a great time. You've missed the bottom line is it's good-natured ribbing, folks. You missed a lot in the last few weeks. We're glad you're back. And between now and what happens on November 8th, Sam, God only knows, because
ready to go to the inauguration. You want to go, Eddie?
I would love to go.
Well, it depends on who
wins.
Hey, wait a minute. If it's Hillary, she owes us at least a conversation.
That's right, because she probably raised about $10 million off of us last week. We're out of time. We wanted to get Sam's interpretation
and
talks on the alt-right. We'll do that next week. Sam, we love you, brother. We'll see y'all next week.
God bless you, Sam.
God bless you, everyone.
Bless you, all the audience.
No retreat, no surrender, no apology.
Send us some more pictures of the beautiful kids.
I'm going to get some ice creams, all I'm saying.
All right, I'm coming.
Get it for free if Eddie's with you at a Baskin Robbins in Arkansas. Good night, everybody.